From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Here's what Bibb County Schools District Superintendent Dr. Curtis L. Jones Jr. heard when he came back to work after President's Day. Over the weekend, Dr. Jones was named National Superintendent of the Year. It is the second time since 2015 that Georgia Schools Superintendent has won the national honor. And Curtis Jones is joining me now on the line from GPB in Macon. Dr. Jones, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Well, that was a good Tuesday morning for you, I bet.
Oh, it was. It was very heartwarming.
Well, this was a long road for you. I'm going to get to your history as a superintendent. First of all, 18 years with Griffin Spalding School Districts. You came to Bibb County in 2015. Now, this was a rough time. The district was still reeling from a scandal involving your predecessor, who pleaded guilty to tax evasion and his administration accused of corruption. So what did you walk into?
Great opportunity. I walked into a situation where the community welcomed me with opening arms. There was a day where the mayor and the community did a reception on a Sunday afternoon where they said, thank you so much for coming. The first month and a half I was here, I met with community members, and it was, we're so happy you're here. How can we help? And they were genuine in that offer of help. And so I came into a great situation where the community was really ready to start a new page.
Why did you want a job like that?
A couple of reasons. One, I was challenged by an individual who said, Curtis, I really do think you're the right person to go to Bibb. That was Steve Smith, who was at the time an interim superintendent here in Macon. I say about 6 months prior to that, I had one of my employees in Griffin send me a letter. And in the letter, she told me that her husband was a teacher in Macon Bibb. She thought I was doing a good job in Griffin, but she says, they need you in Bibb. And then about 6 months prior to that, I run into a lady named Dr. Wanda West at a conference, and she said, I'm on the board in Macon. We're going to be looking for a superintendent. You ought to come. I'll tell you that the first time I ignored it, the second time I thought about it, but when the third person asked, it was like, you know what? Somebody's telling me I need to be somewhere else. And so that was why I decided to go.
So many steps when you walk into something like that to turn things around, rebuilding trust within the community, getting the staff to know you. Where did you begin?
We started at the top. It was important for the Board of Education and for me to have a great working relationship. And so started out initially just meeting with them and talking, trying to understand what it is they thought we should be doing, wanting to get an idea of their goals for the district. And then I needed them to understand this is where I wanted to go. After we were able to have that conversation, it was about pulling together a inner circle that would work with me and that I had confidence in. So it's about meeting with them and talking and saying, what goals do you have? Where are we? And that led to this whole conversation of what is our mission? What's our vision? What are our values? And I recognized pretty early that we needed to go back and focus on those fundamental things. That was part of changing the culture of the district, because a mission statement is important, but it's what you're supposed to do every day. And truthfully, this is something I used to say. If you can tell me the Pledge of Allegiance, but you can't tell me your mission statement, it means you're not dedicated. You need to be focused. And so we were able to refocus on what it is we really believed and what we were trying to go to.
So this is a challenging county, almost the highest poverty rate in the state in Bibb County, among children about 45%, or almost 45%, forgive me. That number represents an increase in recent years. Now, how do you walk into a school environment where kids have to worry about being food insecure, maybe housing insecure, and effectively teach them math and reading and, as you said, the basics?
One, you have to get people to believe in you and trust you. I started out by just being transparent and telling them my story. I grew up in Barnesville. My parents were both teachers, but we were by no means well off. I told them about my mom, my dad, my brothers, my sister, the issues that we had when I was growing up, because that story of poverty is kind of where I came from as well. And so I wanted people to recognize, even though I may be superintendent, I've been there. And I believe that education can improve things. And so I'm doing this because it's what I think is right. That idea of togetherness, transparency, let people recognize that we have issues. We have a lot of poverty. But we have a community that's willing to help us. We had our East Splash, which is where we get a lot of our money for capital projects. That's that one penny sales tax. And we wanted to renew that as well. And once again, the community came forward and said, we will do it. Early on, they recognized that we had a need, but they were willing to be supportive. One of the schools that I walked into was Northeast High School. Northeast High School was in bad shape. You could see lockers that had graffiti that was written on them. The lockers didn't look like they worked. The restrooms had padlocks on them because they didn't want to let kids go in during the day. And I just thought, like, man, I want my children to go to a school where I work, and I'm not sure this is the environment. So we put that one on the list as one of the very first schools that we're going to improve with the new East Splash. We also said we're going to put technology in this school now because we're putting technology in all of our schools. And so it was one of the first ones to get technology. Even though we knew we were going to rebuild it, I did not want students to go for a year, 2 years, waiting for that rebuild effort to occur. And because of that, people saw that we were going to do what we thought was right.
We're hearing some of the initiatives from Bibb County School District Superintendent Dr. Curtis Jones, Jr., recently named the 2019 National Superintendent of the Year. You mentioned both parents were teachers. Education runs in the family. Your wife is a principal. Your son is a teacher. So what kind of emphasis did your parents place on your education when you were growing up and going through school?
First of all, when I was in elementary school, my mom was a teacher at the school. So I was one of those kids that could never get in trouble. Because
mm-hmm.
When I did, they went and told the principal, who then told the teacher, who was my mom. And so I learned then, though, that people cared about me. I'm riding home in the car, and they say, my mom would say, Mrs. Kendall said this about you today. Mrs. Head told me this. But I know they did it because they cared. That was first. The other part is there was just a general expectation that I was going to do something after high school. I don't think there was any doubt that I was going to graduate. The question is, where are you going to go? And my parents worked towards that. So for me, that was what the beginning was, that level of expectation that you're going to do more. And lastly, mom and dad were both dedicated to helping people. Dad was a minister. Mom was the first lady of the church, but they were both teachers as well. Dad coached boys basketball. And so this idea of doing something after school, helping people, was also important. And I just saw it and thought it's what you're supposed to do.
You talked about having a shared mission and how important that is, and about team building and people who are going to sort of go along on this road with you. So what kind of metrics, what kind of measurements are you using for your success in Bibb County?
We have a balanced scorecard. And on the balanced scorecard, we look at several things. One, I want to see that attendance is improving. So we start out in the very beginning of the year looking at the first 30 days of school. Then we look at truancy for students to see who is not coming to school. And we try to attack those problems. A second issue we look at is behavior. How many office referrals? How many of those referrals are serious? How many out-of-school suspensions? The intent is to try to get more students in school every day. So we track attendance, discipline, office referrals. And then when we finish looking at those, I'm also looking at teacher evaluations. We have the Teacher Keys evaluation system in Georgia and the Leader Keys. How well are our principals and teachers doing in achieving those standards? And so we track that as we go throughout the year, seeing that we're implementing those programs or systems with fidelity, and then making sure that we report that back on a monthly basis. So attendance, discipline, and then evaluation of staff. Because we really want the evaluation to be not just an I gotcha, but help individuals grow with their continuous improvement plans.
Well, prior to being named National Superintendent of the Year, you were, of course, honored as Georgia Superintendent of the Year. Governor Brian Kemp has pledged to raise teacher pay. What do you think of that, and what are your priorities for Georgia students as the state continues to grow?
Great question. I am very happy that Governor Kemp is going to put more money into teacher pay. I believe that teachers are underpaid. I think we've had stagnant wages for a while, and so teachers need to be recognized. We're having a hard time recruiting and retaining the very best, and this is a great first step in moving us in that direction. Part of the concern I have is with the rest of the people who are in my organization. I currently have about 1,600 teachers. But I have a total of like 3,000 employees total.
Hmm.
Those other individuals are not part of what the governor's talking about giving a pay raise to. So the local community, our local dollars, will be the ones that will put that in place. And trying to figure out what does $3,000 for teachers who are on different steps and pay scales look like, and how do you apply that to the other individuals so they feel as if they're being treated fairly as well is important. We've had a hard time finding bus drivers. We have a hard time finding custodians. We're having an issue now with counselors. And so it is difficult to recruit and train everybody. But if you're going to have a great school system, it has to be a place where people want to work. It has to be a place where they feel valued. And so I think it's a great initiative to get teachers to feeling good about themselves as well as all the other educators. And so my priority is going to be to implement the pay raise as best we can, and then to use our local dollars to try as best I can to let everyone else feel as if they've been treated fairly. The second issue, though, that I think is important is one about school safety. Students can't come to school and feel threatened. Teachers have to know that they're in a safe working environment as well. And so the governor's also providing some monies to schools so we can improve the security of our facilities. Here in Bibb, we've done a great job. We have controlled access to our buildings. We have cameras inside our classrooms, in our hallways, on the outside of schools. And we have our teachers, so they're equipped with a panic button, so if something happens, they can press it and an email is immediately sent to their principal. But teachers are still feeling anxious because they know that other issues can happen as well. So we're going to have to continue to work on this idea of providing safety. I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of metal detectors. I don't think students should feel like they're going to a prison, but I also know we're going to have to respond. So we're continuing to look at that, but I think this idea of safety for students and faculty and staff is also important. The third issue, and then I'll stop, is about social-emotional learning. Students are continuing to have issues where trauma is happening. Crime in our community is higher than I would like, and the students who are experiencing either their parents being a victim, their family being a victim, or them knowing someone who is baggage that they just can't leave just because they came to school. So we're having to respond to that, and so I'm very thankful that we're trying to figure out how to put in place more wraparound services for our students who are having these issues.
Dr. Jones, in addition to a blue blazer, the National Superintendent of the Year title comes with $10,000 to be granted to a student from the winner's alma mater or at a high school in your present district. Do you already know who's getting that?
I do not, and I'm glad you asked that. So I'll tell you what my current thoughts are. My current thoughts are that if it can go to a school that is in my current district, we're going to have a little competition between our high schools. We will put together a request for students to apply, and I will let them talk about our value proposition. In Bibb County, we're trying very hard to let students demonstrate leadership, scholarship, and citizenship. And I'm going to ask them, what does that mean to you? And if you were the recipient of a $10,000 college scholarship, how would you demonstrate that? What would you do? And we'll take those in and we'll look at them, and based on the best evaluation or of what is submitted to us, we'll be able to pick one. That's what I'm currently thinking. My communications director is looking at me, though, like, you didn't tell me that. So she just learned breaking news.
Well, thank you for giving it to us then. So appreciate your time. And again, congratulations. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Happy to be with you.
And that is the National Superintendent of the Year, Dr. Curtis L. Jones, Jr. He is superintendent of the Bibb County School District in Macon. Just ahead, the Little Shop of Stories adds their picks to our Southern Reading List. I'm Virginia Prescott. That is when On Second Thought continues.